If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Pretoria Law in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting, and Anne-Marie Spadafuri. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Charlie Malamut, president of Malamut Enterprises, Nicholas Cerebro. How do you pronounce your last name, Nicholas?
Cerebro.
Cerebro, managing director of The Clearing, Solomon Lutfi, president and CEO of TriVision, and Joe Meyer, executive director and CEO of Shelter House. Let's get to know our first guest, Charlie Malamut, president of Malamut Enterprises. Charlie, what is Malamut Enterprises?
It's a franchise of Domino's Pizza.
How many Domino's pizzas do you own?
I have 10 locations right now, about 200 employees.
You have 10 locations and 200 employees. Where are you from originally?
Queens, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
One older brother.
And what was going on with you when you were about 15 years old?
Well, 15, I had a pretty dysfunctional household. My father was pretty sick. My brother was in and out of jail, gangs, all kinds of crazy stuff in New York. And my mom had left and kind of was on my own from the age of 15 on.
What do you mean you were on your own to the age of 15? What are you talking about?
Well, my father was in the hospital, my brother was in jail, and my mother would leave the house Wednesday morning, leave me with some food, a couple of bucks, and I wouldn't see her again until Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Every week.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
It seems like you had a lot going on. How did you get started with Domino's then?
Well, Domino's began in college. One of my mentors, a gentleman by the name of Phil Bressler, he was a training director for Domino's when I was in college, and he kept telling me I should start driving for this company, that I would really like it. It was everything that I enjoyed in life, coaching, playing sports, things like that.
So you started as a driver, though?
I started as a driver my senior year of college.
And you own 10 stores now?
Correct.
And you had this mentor that really helped you?
Yes.
Get into the business?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Phil pushed me pretty hard and really taught me a lot about business, customer service, and that the tremendous opportunity was just really what appealed to me with Domino's.
Emery?
So you had a pretty tough childhood. What did you do for fun?
I play a lot of sports, and I worked hard. I had a paper route at an early age. I walked neighborhood dogs. I had a little bagel operation where I would deliver hot bagels to families on Sunday mornings. I was always keeping myself busy.
So keeping yourself busy is fun for you?
Yes. Especially to get away from the stuff I was experiencing at home.
Huh. Keeping yourself busy was a way for you to keep your yourself on the straight and narrow, it sounds like.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. About Brian?
You said your brother ran into some legal problems and you saw this happen. What made you decide that you were going to go a different route?
Well, exactly for that. I knew that at that stage of my life, if I was going to make something out of myself, it was up to me. So I pushed myself very hard when it came to work, and certainly getting into Domino's provided me that opportunity. This was a company, as a manager, they pay you 20% of the profits. And that was very appealing. My mother had this little carpeting store on Long Island, and when she talked to me about working for her, we were talking minimum wage. We weren't talking 20% of the profits, which is one of the reasons I got into Domino's.
Because you felt that 20% of the profits was pretty motivating to you, as opposed to getting a fixed salary?
Absolutely. Not only that, I felt that I would be paid as good as I was. So if I ran my store with high sales and low labor and low food or medium food cost, that I was going to benefit more based on my own results. And to me, that was incredibly enticing. Plus the fact that there was an opportunity to buy my own store one day, which is what happened. I think 90% of all the Domino's franchisees today started as either a driver or a pizza maker at one point in their career.
Tim?
Were you scared being on your own?
I was, but I wasn't. I had a really good group of friends is really what saved me. These are still today. These are I have four or five really great friends since second grade that are still in my life today. And without that, I may have gone a different way. But that, the influence of Phil Bressler, who I mentioned because I had known him since I was 10 years old, those things really helped keep me on the straight and narrow.
So when you left Queens, was that hard to leave that behind?
That was very, very hard. That was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make because, you know, all I knew was that little world. And going to Maryland from Queens, the only person I knew was Phil Bressler. But I believed in him. I'd known him for a long time, and I trusted him. And I knew if I worked hard, I would have a great opportunity and a better future.
Huh. Anne-Marie?
Where do you get your courage?
You know, sometimes I think when you don't have a lot and you have nothing to lose, it's kind of easy to be courageous. I think in some ways I'm less courageous today than I was now because now I have something to lose.
Tell me more about you saying less courageous these days.
Well, in other words, if I make a mistake in business, you know, who knows what could happen? Things can go bad, sales can go down, my people could leave me. Whereas then, I had nothing to lose back then. When you have nothing, you have nothing to lose.
Jen, what do you think?
How do you give back? Do you do mentoring or coaching for
absolutely.
Others?
One of the things I'm proudest of in my business is I have 8 or 9 people that started for me as a driver, a pizza maker, that are now self-made millionaires working through the system. At one time or another, we've partnered in stores together. I have one gentleman, Brian Jandrew, at the age of 16, he was a pizza maker for me in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and he now owns 40 stores in South Florida, Domino's stores. And that, I can't be more proud of something like that.
So you're happy that you helped these other people succeed? I thought business was like, you know, you kill people, it's competitive, and, you know, suing people and stuff like that.
It's a win-win. When I get somebody in my organization that, what I say, they have a PhD, they're poor, hungry, and driven, and they're looking for an opportunity, I will mentor them. We will find an area that I know we can put our system of marketing, customer service, product service, image, all those great things that we do on an everyday basis. If we take that into any market in Domino's, or really any business it applies to, that we're going to be successful there. So normally what I'll do is if I have somebody like that in my organization, I will identify that area. We'll purchase the first couple of stores. I'll do it with them. I'll help finance it. I'll do the office infrastructure and let them run the operation. And then at some point, 8 to 10 years down the road, my money gets out and I let them buy me out. And it's a great win-win for my company. It's something I can point to the new people that come into my organization. And honestly, it makes me feel good.
Are you saying that Domino's can educate business owners?
Absolutely. It's usually every franchisee runs their company as if it's Charlie's Pizza.
What makes you feel good?
When I see people that can become successful that started like I did and now have their own company.
Well, I guess, you know, you're a hot dog nowadays. 200 employees, 10 stores. I mean, you don't have to work nights or weekends or anything like that, do you?
No, I don't, but I do because I enjoy it. Like I said, I really, truly enjoy seeing the young. I'm 53 now.
What do you mean, no, but yes? Well, tell me more about that, because it would seem to me the American dream is, you know, you go to Florida or something, but you're telling me, no, you don't have to work, but yes, you want to?
Well, I don't have to work, you know, Friday at midnight or Saturday at midnight anymore. I used to work 90 or 100 hours a week. I used to take naps in my car at 2, you know, p.m. when I first started. I was literally living in a garage in New York City when I first started with Domino's Pizza. And I'll never forget those days. And in order to never have to go back to that, I do have to keep working. I do have to keep, you know, motivating my people and pushing them to be better. So do I have to keep working like that? No. And I'm not saying I work 90 or 100 hours a week anymore, but I still work enough to have my hands on the business and know what's going on in my operation.
You married or single?
Married.
You have any kids?
Yes, I have.
How many kids do you have?
4 kids.
What's the similarity between being a dad and being the president of 10 Domino's Pizzas?
It's actually, I often say I have like 200 kids because I find that I'm constantly, you know, mentoring people, and I thought
in business, if they don't do their job, you just fire them. I read the newspapers. It's, you get rid of people. You fire them. You don't care about them.
Unless they're dishonest, disloyal, or do something just blatantly illegal, I very rarely give up on people. If someone's giving me an honest effort, trying their hardest, I will go the extra mile to save them or try to turn them around. I've been to, AA meetings with employees. I have scraped people out of bed and taken them to the hospital. I can't even tell you over the years how many times I've had to really get involved in people's lives.
Did you find that in a textbook, or where'd that come from?
I think it's just growing up without having a lot and knowing what that's like, and knowing that if I give up on this person, you know, it's not like they have a college resume and they can go get a great job somewhere. If they can't make it with us, they're going to head down a bad path sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What's the most fulfilling part about your job?
Honestly, I think it's when I see people that have come up through my system and have gone out to own stores elsewhere and become successful and have a family and duplicate what we've
done. But that's not putting any money in your pocket.
Sometimes it is, because it's a win-win. I get involved. I'm a partner for the first few years until I get what I feel is a reasonable rate of return on my money. And then I let them fly. And then, again, I'm getting it on the back end by showing the people that work for me. The guy who's coming in the door tomorrow can look on my wall in my office and see the, you know, eight people up there that have owned their own stores now.
What's the website address for your organization?
Domino's.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Domino's.com.
We've been speaking with Charlie Malamud, who's the president of Malamud Enterprises, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Name and organization.
Andrea Dykes, Howard Insurance.
And what do you got? What are you doing at Howard Insurance, Andrea?
I'm the managing partner.
Managing partner. And what makes Howard Insurance different?
We create better financial outcomes for our clients.
Huh. What do you mean by that?
We feel that the insurance industry is complacent, transactional, and not holistic in its approach.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from originally?
Rockville, Maryland.
How many brothers and sisters?
One younger brother.
Uh-huh. How are you guys different?
He's more technical, analytical. He's an engineer.
Uh-huh. And you?
I'm more big picture, visionary.
Uh-huh. So maybe that's one of the reasons your clients are getting better results with you, is you're going in and really trying to understand the big picture of their insurance needs and then helping them figure out what the products were, as opposed to just trying to duplicate what they got, huh? And what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
Basketball, and then field hockey and lacrosse.
Uh-huh. What made you different in those sports?
Basketball, you can't tell from radio, but I was half the size of the folks I played with, and I led the team for both field hockey and lacrosse as captain.
Why'd they ask you to do that?
They trust my leadership, and they know that I value them for their role within the organization.
What do you mean you value them for their role in the organization between you? What are you talking about?
I know what I'm good at, and I know what other folks bring to the table, and I rely on them for their expertise or their stature in the case of
basketball. That's one of the reasons you've got a reputation of doing great client service, because you're able to bring the right team to the client and make sure that the team's nailing it for the client, as opposed to trying to do it all yourself or, you know, leaving holes uncovered.
That's
right. Is that
fair?
Uh-huh. What's the website address of your organization?
Howard-insurance.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Howard-insurance.com.
And your name again is?
Andrea Dykes.
Andrea Dykes, and it's Howard Insurance. And don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Nicholas Cerebro, managing.
Cerebro.
Managing Director of The Clearing. What is The Clearing?
The Clearing is a management consulting firm.
And how large or how small is this firm?
We have approximately 80 consultants with $14 million in revenue this year.
And where are you from originally?
Lafayette, California.
How many brothers and sisters?
One younger brother.
Brian?
Yes, let's talk a little bit about how you first started making money. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. At the first time I started making money, I was 10 and I was self-employed. I was an insurance salesman.
You're an insurance salesman. Tell us a little bit about that.
I remember seeing an ad when I was a kid on TV, and I saw this nice, young, dapper gentleman walking up with a briefcase and sitting down to a family and selling them stuff. And I said, that looks really neat. I want to do that. So I went out, got a briefcase, and went and pitched my parents.
Wait. How old were you when you got it, when you went out and got this briefcase?
10 or 11.
This is a true story, huh?
Absolute true story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was a leather briefcase. Loved
wow.
It. Square.
Brian?
Uh-huh.
So you're creative in your business efforts from the beginning, then, I take it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what did you do after this this situation being in selling insurance? You made the sale, right?
Oh, absolutely made the sale.
What did you do next?
Then I went and tried to get more money from them, add-on policies. No, at the age of 14, I became a paper boy.
Okay, and what did you do different as a paper boy relative to other paper boys that you saw?
So one thing about me is that I'm very, very competitive, and the paper would routinely put out statistics on all the paper boys and how many houses and how many retention. And I saw the list and thought to myself, I want to be number one. So I quickly went out, talked to the other two people there, got them to work underneath me, and I became the biggest sector in my region.
And you were number one on the list?
Absolutely. Stayed there until
okay.
I left.
And then did you have any other job opportunities as a youth after the paperboy?
Yeah, I got a job at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, right. You talked about how you'd like the secret shopper. You wanted to get the secret shopper. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I remember getting every week we would have a staff meeting, and the boss always came around and said, make sure that you guys get prepared because there's secret shoppers coming. And every week they'd come by, and I'd run to see who actually got the secret shopper, and I was always mad that I never got him because I knew that I would beat the score of the last guy.
So as opposed to being afraid of being secret shopped, you sort of looked forward to it.
I treated everyone like they were the secret shopper.
Jen?
Where did this business sense or want to be in business kind of come from?
It came from my parents. Both of them are serial entrepreneurs. My mom has three businesses right now, and my dad has his own business.
And what was their background?
So they are immigrants from Argentina, and they literally came to this country on the back of a Japanese freighter. And when I say on the back of a Japanese freighter, they were literally eating dinner, all their meals, on a patio table, patio furniture on the back of the boat with all the Japanese salesmen.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Jen, you had something. You were talking to Nicholas earlier about his people skills. What was that all about?
Yeah. So how young were you when you realized how you can get people to fit together and come together from a team environment?
I think it's when I was the paper boy and I realized that by myself, I wasn't going to be able to achieve my goal. But if I start getting people around me who can supplement what I don't have, that's when I said, oh, boy, I got it. And so that's when I started learning to build relationships.
So that's when, that's how you got the other paper boys to work with you.
Absolutely.
But isn't that what you do? I mean, this organization known as The Clearing, isn't that the role you play as managing director in The Clearing, is figuring out where everybody fits, especially because you're in the consulting business? That's the essence of the real business. Who's good for which client, and where does everybody fit?
Absolutely. And I think the key to that is realizing your flat sides. And in my case, there's a lot of, I don't know if I'm 360 or not, but there's a lot of flat sides. And I tend to build teams around me with people who are smarter and fill the certain needs of our customers and our clients.
So so your job in the firm is to figure out who needs which of your team members and where your team members fit there. It's the same stuff you were doing back when you were a kid.
Absolutely. It's about making the client and the customer happy. And that leads to more business.
Interesting. Emery, what do you got? What are you thinking?
So what values drive you?
I would say competition and to a point, integrity, because I think those two together is the recipe to grow and to sell more, right? Because if your clients trust you and like you, then it's not really, you're not selling them anything. They're naturally wanting to get more from you.
What about your parents' experience? How did their struggles shape you?
Well, I just saw how they came to this country with literally nothing, a backpack, and, you know, traveled back and forth across the country with $100 back then. And now they're very successful, and they're very they're well off. And I see that, and the competitive side of me wants to say, I want to be better than they are. So I remember when I bought my first car that was better than my dad's, I called him up and said, ha, my car is more expensive than yours.
And what did he say?
He says, great. Great. How are you doing at your job?
Tim, questions.
So competitiveness,
yes.
A big part of who you are.
It is.
I'm curious about a time when you failed. What happened?
Oof, I failed a lot. And whether it's a client that we didn't get or a proposal that we didn't win, what happens is I get really down on myself, and I see myself as a failure. And there'll be like it takes me a little bit to recharge. But then what I do is I use that failure as the motivation to beat what I just lost at.
So you're resilient, but as opposed to using the word, it's like you really feel like you don't want to lose, and if you do, you use that as a way to motivate yourself further.
Yeah. If not, I would probably just keep spinning down and down and down, and I don't want to do that. I've got certain goals for myself.
All right. Who's got the next question for Nicholas?
Where does the work ethic come from?
I think it's always been there. I think it's because I see that as success. I think the harder you work, the more successful you're going to be. And as early as a kid, I always had jobs and played sports. So I always equated working with
so this
success.
Is this fact that you were 10 years old and you went out and bought yourself a briefcase.
Yep.
Which is a pretty, you know, number one, it shows that you're a planner, you're a thinker, you know, and that you're prepared to make an investment in yourself in order to make things happen. How's that showing up nowadays, that briefcase?
It shows up in figuring out how am I going to get my team to grow, both as professionals and in service of our clients. And so, for example, I have a client now that we started with a very small project, and now I've got 10 to 12 people working on that client. And I think it's consistently looking at how are you going to build this in the future, and how is it going to scale?
So do you think you're going to ever retire?
No.
Why not?
I'm bored.
Well, wait a minute. I thought the American dream was, you know, you get to be 60 or 65 and you sit on the sofa or you go to Florida, but that's not what you're thinking about doing?
No, because I could see myself if I'm 60 and I'm going down to Florida and on shuffleboard, I'll be trying to beat either a 60-year-old there.
Uh-huh. So you really enjoy work.
I do. I do. I do it all the time, and I've been able to learn to turn it off and on a little bit. But it's really hard. I just had a vacation, and I just couldn't turn it off, and my kids were really pissed.
What is it about work you enjoy?
I enjoy achievement and getting somewhere and success and saying, you know what, we did this together.
It's interesting you just said that. We did this together, so it's not like you win and everybody loses?
No. Like I said, I've got a lot of flat sides, so I view it as we are winning. It's not just me winning.
Wow. So, I read the newspapers, and it looks like the guys that win are the ones that make sure that everybody else loses, but you're not that way. The way I hear you talking about it is it's all about the team, because you know you can't win alone. You really need the team to win.
Absolutely.
What's the website address of your organization?
Theclearing.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Theclearing.com.
And your name again is?
Nicholas Srebro.
That's what I have here, Nicholas Cerebro, who's the managing director.
Oh, you did it right.
The managing director of The Clearing here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders, and we'll be back in a moment right after this quick break.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon and Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free, no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Solomon Lutfi, who's the president and CEO of an organization known as TriVision. Solomon, what is TriVision? What are you guys doing?
TriVision is a marketing and media communications company.
Uh-huh. And how large or how small is this firm?
We have about 35 employees here in this area and 20 employees in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
Three locations here.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from Kabul, Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you came to the United States?
I was about 14 years old.
14 years old. 13, 14. Why'd you come to the United States?
The war in Afghanistan, the situation there.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
We are three brothers and a sister. I'm the oldest.
So you're the oldest of four?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Brian?
When you and your family came over to the United States, what did your father do to sort of make ends meet in the new world? How was it different than what he did in Afghanistan?
My father had a manufacturing factory in Afghanistan with almost 400 employees, and he came here, had a showroom, and that kind of, with the war in Afghanistan and factory being looted and destroyed, he tried to continue the business here, but unfortunately with that, it didn't work, and we saw it go down to almost nothing.
And so what happened then? What did your father do?
He didn't give up. He continued to trying that business. At the same time, allowed us to help support us for our creative ideas and different projects we were working on.
And how did this affect you growing up? How did it drive you forward?
Well, from an early age, he was our role model. He always supported us and provided us the guidance and the tools and equipment and encouraged us to do anything we're good at. And he was the kept the family together and gave us the guidance always, especially very business-minded entrepreneurs.
Jen?
Your family was very entrepreneurial. How old were you when you had your first business card?
At a very young age. As I was saying, while my father's business was kind of going away, we started our own business, this company called TriVision, 1992. Had my business cards in high school, and we were actually doing some business.
You said we. Mm-hmm. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about my three brothers. We're three brothers and a sister. At that time, my sister was much younger, but especially as three brothers.
So you all work together?
Yes, the whole family worked together.
Starting from when you were in high school?
In high school, yeah. Sophomore year, TriVision was established, and we were actually doing real business and making money. By senior year, I opened an office with my brothers outside the house and actually had clients coming in and rented an office.
So you mentioned that when you were in Afghanistan, your dad was doing well with 400 employees, and he bought you some fancy-dancy video equipment that you were playing with as a kid. And that's the reason you started the video-related business here. Am I correct about that? With your sister and brothers.
Yes. He traveled a lot, and he brought equipment from keyboard.
And you mentioned that when you started this business, it was in the house, and you would have clients, you would have customers coming into the house, and mom would be cooking dinner, and they'd be walking through. So it was really a family business.
It was, and any time clients would come in, it was hard to have a dining table meet a client as a conference room or anything.
Are your brothers and sisters still involved in the business?
We're all still together, yes.
Uh-huh. Anne-Marie?
So what special traits do you bring to business as an immigrant, someone who was born in another country and came to the U.S.?
Immigrants always, they have this drive in them. They always want to achieve. They leave something behind. They have to prove it again. So that motivation is there, and
What do you mean you have to prove? What are you talking about?
Because you have seen something. Most people think of immigrants that they have nothing, but usually they have something, their parents, the school, or they leave everything behind to start something all over again.
So you remember what it was like when Dad had 400 employees and was wealthy in Afghanistan?
Oh, yeah, we had chauffeurs, cooks, everything. I mean, that big life. And from that to come here, and still we had a good life here because he had some money, unlike some others who leave everything. But he literally lost it all here, too, down to zero. The business closed, no more money. And from that small business, we started with nothing. We started making enough money that with the help and guidance of him, it actually opened offices from one to two and three and hired employees.
Wait. So Dad has seen his kids stick together and build this business.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he feels about that?
Very proud.
How do you know that?
I've seen it in him.
What do you mean?
To him, he one day he said, actually, and we have seen him, he's like having, achieving this through my kids was the biggest goal for him. And seeing us continue his tradition, what he started with his family from nothing at a young age, and us doing the same thing, that's what he wanted.
Uh-huh. How do you think your mom feels about this whole thing?
She's also very proud, the backbone of her family, so kept everyone together.
So when mom, when you started the business and used the house as your office, did your mom ever make meals for any of the customers?
Oh, yeah, she continued. Until almost 10 years ago, she would bring food. Even right now, sometimes she sends food to everyone, not just us, to employees. She always supported us in different ways. She you know, fed us even when we had office.
Your employees know your mother?
Oh, yes.
And your mother brings food into the office?
When she came, she did anything she could to support us, from food to moral support.
Why would you let her do that? Isn't that messing up, like, the energy? I mean, isn't that mess up the culture, the fact that people aren't getting work done? They're sitting around eating and talking with your mother?
Actually, we used the lunchtime to get to work with our employees in team building, and it helped us a lot. Our employees are like family. Some of them actually work from that time till now, 20 years or more, with us.
Well, why do they... Oh, is that why they stick around? Because
I guess
they
free lunch. Not make salaries, but free food. Uh-huh. Keeps everyone together.
Who's got the next question?
Was it hard? You've been working in a family business your whole life. I mean, I imagine there's conflict there. How do you manage that?
Having a family business, you actually is the best thing, and sometimes not very easy, because you have the people you trust, like family to trust on, and you have a team, but at the same time, you can fire employees, but not family members. So very challenging also.
So how do you guys keep it going? What happens?
We
when
try to divide roles. I mean, we have different talents and capabilities, and we have seen that in each other from the very beginning, and that allowed us to grow the company. And at the same time, we use those strengths and weaknesses to make it even stronger. So we have different visions or capabilities, and we try to take
Who helped you appreciate the siblings' strengths and weaknesses? Did you implicitly know that, or who helped you sort that out?
I think having that my father's business and us always doing things together, even projects at a young age, and using our skills, creativity, vision, or different skills to achieve something together, that helped us. It's always been the case, and that we being a part of a team and playing with a team, especially as family, and seeing that has helped us stay together and grow together.
Huh. That's interesting. Who's got the next question here?
Was it hard when your father's business failed? And how did you guys have the charisma to start your own business back up again?
Because we always, like, we're entrepreneurs from a young age, with my father starting from nothing and growing the business. Despite the war, he didn't give up. He didn't sell the business to bring the money and emigrate outside. He left because he had to. He didn't give up on the business. He actually opened an office, a branch office here. He could have easily sold things and come with the money and start something different or keep the money. But he believed in always continuing. And actually, the business may have closed, but we kept the name in operation. And to this day in Afghanistan and here, the name is registered for his business and the TriVision business. So we never actually closed it per se, but we believed in starting a business or doing something. It's just a division of that business that he had. Uh-huh. Even registering this business, we started as a branch.
Uh-huh. So there's just something about the lineage, there's something about the history.
The heritage is very important to us, and until now we actually talk about that.
What you talk about what?
The history, where he had the business for over 40 years, and the business we started 25 years with his help. We actually originally established it as a branch or a division of that business.
I see.
That's how it
Emery?
Started.
What would you like your legacy to be?
That's the perfect question at the right time.
Achieve what we started with nothing, and actually to grow this business and leave something behind for our kids, and hopefully they are interested in what we have done, and not only here and go back home to Afghanistan, and also start something.
Is that the purpose of the business?
Not really. We're an American business, and we have grown here. We have locations all over, but...
But I heard something in your voice when you talked about go back to Afghanistan. What's that about?
More than anything, for my father, actually, he... to not let his dreams and what he tried fail.
Wow. Wow. Next question. Who's got it?
Mm-hmm. When you came to this country, you know, you were younger. How did you fit in?
Not easy. As I was in a French school in Afghanistan, English learned it just from watching movies, taking ESL classes at the same time. We were good in math and science things, but not English. And, of course, at that age, you're in high school, can't speak the language very well, so it was not easy, and kids would make fun of you. But creativity and sports really helped us. I played good soccer, and also I was good with video design and stuff. That made me stand out, and I always tried to be different, and I actually took that as a pride.
Wow. So there's a great deal of family pride here. I heard about, you know, it really motivates you fulfilling dad's legacy and continuing the family heritage.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's all about, oh, that's interesting. And the way that you managed to fit in was some of your design and creative abilities and some of your video abilities as well as with sports. So you learned how to develop relationships. Has that helped you in business?
A lot, because pushing, I mean, even our business, combining creativity with video and design and these separate disciplines where it used to be printing separate and design and video separate, we combined these fields using technology to make it bigger and better.
What's the website address for this organization?
It's trivision.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Trivision.com.
We've been speaking with Solomon Lutfi, President and CEO of Trivision, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Whoa.
And your name and organization is?
Henry Stever. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer with the National Association of Corporate Directors.
Well, what is the National Association of Corporate Directors? What are you guys doing?
NACD is the largest organization in the world focused exclusively on helping corporate directors and boards lead with confidence in the boardroom. And our mission is to identify, interpret, and deliver insights about emerging issues that may impact corporate boards around the world.
All right. So you told us earlier that you were involved with the Marines at one point. I'm trying to figure out what you learned in the Marines that's helping you nowadays in your role.
Well, when I was in high school, my great uncle, who was a West Point grad of 1944, who went right into the Battle of the Bulge, said, Henry, you don't know really what you're going to do when you grow up, but leadership is really important. And while I was going to go to Duke and play football, he said, there's this company or this organization that's called the Naval Academy, and they have boats, and you like boats because as a kid and you like to play sports, and they have sports. But they are one of the best leadership training organizations in the world, and it's called the Naval Academy.
And what did you learn there that you're using nowadays? What did you learn there that you're using nowadays, the Naval Academy?
Everything you do, I believe, whether you're a young kid or a mature adult, mm-hmm. it's all about leadership
and what's accomplishing goals. What turns you on about the role that you've got nowadays? Didn't you tell me something about leaving something for your kids? What was that about?
Well, it's really about the end result and the outcomes of what boards can do. Because at the end of the day, we all want and hope for a prosperous, growing economy. And every company has a board of directors, or should have a board of directors. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, boards of directors oversee the economic affairs of the company.
Excellent.
So therefore, boards oversee the economy. And
what's the website address for this organization? What's your website address?
It's nacdonline.org.
Let me have that one more time.
nacdonline.org.
And we've been speaking with Henry Stever, Chief Marketing Officer, National Association of Corporate Directors here on Executive Leaders Radio.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site, 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis, 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts, available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Mike Mitchell, president of Person-to-Person Quality. Mike, what is Person-to-Person Quality?
We're a market research and customer service, customer experience measurement firm.
All right. How large or how small is that organization?
We're a couple million in sales, and we have about half a dozen people.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
One brother, one sister.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest.
Uh-huh. What'd that do to you, being the oldest of three?
Well, it gave me some privileges, but gave me some sense of responsibility, too,
what do you,
I think.
What do you mean you had a sense of responsibility? Did somebody tell you that you had to be responsible, or what did that look like?
No, there were a lot of role models. Everybody in the family sort of acted that way, extended family.
All right, cool. David, what are you thinking?
And Mike, you mentioned that when you moved, I think to Arizona, you were involved with playing sports and everything. But what kind of jobs did you have?
Oh, I started out delivering papers, like a lot of people, newspapers.
And how old were you?
12 or 13 at that point.
And what other kinds of jobs did you have?
Well, from there, I graduated to mowing lawns primarily, and then went to work in a grocery store bagging groceries and drove a truck when I was in college.
So the easy thing would have just been hanging out at the pool and hanging out at the pool. What was it that drove you to keep working and getting these jobs?
Well, at first I just wanted money to do some things and buy things that I wanted when I was a kid. After a while, it became paying my way through college and ultimately law school.
So is there anything about that kind of early entrepreneurial spirit, I mean, hard work, entrepreneurism, that what I just heard is that you started your own company. Is there any tie?
Well, I think there is. I mean, when I was a kid, except for the sort of umbrella that my parents provided over everything, I was pretty much able to make my own decisions and get those jobs, work at it, move up as I wanted to move up. Starting a business, it's your operation, and you win, lose, or draw based on what you do and decide to do, and can build a good team to help you do it.
It goes back to the fact that you took responsibility for yourself. You had confidence in yourself. Who's got the next question? Karina.
12 years old. Normally, 12-year-olds don't just decide they want to make some money, start a business. You mentioned role models. Who were some of those folks early on that really inspired you to say, I can do this by myself?
Well, I don't know there was any particular entrepreneur who was a role model. I had an uncle who was a priest. I went to Catholic school, and there were a couple of nuns that were pretty influential, and they gave me a lot of confidence and a lot of encouragement about thinking about what I wanted to do and thinking about just sort of how to get there.
And influential in discipline or in structure?
Both, but sort of self-discipline. Some of the old stereotypical nun stories were not true in our case, but it was a very good environment.
Nice. And as a company that does, you know, mystery shopping and sort of quality control, do you find some parallel with being the oldest and having structure in your upbringing and being able to kind of manage what's going on around you, keeping an eye on it?
Well, we do have to keep a close eye. We have a lot of people we have to manage because we have shoppers, testers in some cases, who are all over the country, and there are hundreds of them working every month on these shops, and we keep it all together. Fortunately, I have a great team of people who help with that, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. David?
Mike, tell us what your parents did.
My mother went to teacher's college, became a teacher for a couple of years, and then became a homemaker and spent the rest of her life doing that, I guess. My dad owned a grain elevator. He was an entrepreneur back in his early career. Got sick and then moved and had to change careers and that sort of thing.
Now, as a school teacher, as your mother raising you, and now your business today where you're doing testing, tell us what you might have learned from your mother.
Well, she was very interested in making sure that my sister and my brother and I did well in school. So we had a lot of coaching in that sense going through school, particularly in grade school. One of the things she taught me was when I got to high school, was she encouraged me to take typing. This is back in the old days. And I didn't want to do it because I thought it was worthless. But it was one of the best things I've ever taken because I spend lots and lots of time on a keyboard now. And so it worked out very well.
Yeah, sometimes the older we get, the smarter our parents become.
That's right.
You know. So when you started this business, were you married or single?
Married.
Uh-huh. And you spoke to your wife about starting this business?
I did.
Uh-huh. Did you realize that it was a financial risk and you could lose your money? 85% of businesses go out of business in the first couple of years?
She did.
Uh-huh. But what happened?
Well, she's always had a lot of confidence in me. Hopefully it's worked out well from her perspective.
Uh-huh.
But she was right there supporting all the way.
Uh-huh. So you bring to the party. Tell us about what you bring. What do you get from mom you bring to the party every day and your dad? What do you bring from dad to work every day?
Well, she had a good attitude about work. She, after we got older, she went back to work as a just a secretarial kind of job, but she liked to do that.
She liked to work. She liked to keep herself busy, huh?
Yes.
How about that? What'd you get from dad you bring to work every day?
Well, as I mentioned, dad got sick. He had to change jobs. It was sort of like he had a sense of responsibility, and it was like, you know, I have to make sacrifices because of circumstances here and not going to do what I wanted to do in the beginning, but we'll work it out.
What kind of sacrifices did dad make? What are you talking about?
Well, he had to change. First, there were financial sacrifices when he got sick, and then he had to recover from that. He had to learn a new business when he was...
You learned about resilience from your dad, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. He was a very resilient guy.
Figuring out new markets. He's trying to figure out where the new markets are in your business.
New opportunities.
New opportunities all the time. What's the website address of this organization?
It's person2personquality.com, all one word, and it's person with T-O.
Mm-hmm. Person2personquality.com. Right. We've been speaking with Mike Mitchell, president of Person to Person Quality. David, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of speaking with today?
Our guests have been Curtis Minder, CEO of GroupSense, Mike Mitchell, president, Person-to-Person Quality, Jeff Weiss, co-chairman and managing director of Distributed Sun, and Nate Copeland, senior vice president and COO of Intech LLC.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. David Kunzman, Praetori Law, David Parker, and Karina Bedour from Colliers International for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and an entertaining radio show. David, what's the website address for Praetori Law?
It's praetorilaw.com. That's praetorielaw.com.
And the website address for Colliers International is?
It's www.collierscollier.com/Washington, D.C.
Excellent. This is our call. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the show, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. We did that. Whoa.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.